Welcome back to the Scored Sports Podcast. I'm the host of this podcast, Lane Frank. We're now on episode 162. Yes, sir, 162 episodes through. And I got action-packed episode planned for you. March Madness, we're into the Sweet 16. It's MLB opening day, everybody. We've got 10 games left in the NBA regular season. So much going on there. So get ready for an action-packed episode 162. Let's hop right to it. Let's start off episode 162, how we always do, with the headlines in the NBA. As I mentioned in the intro, we are 10 games away from the NBA regular season ending. We're in the dog days of the NBA season. You might not be paying attention, but it's time you start turning your channel to NBA TV, NBA whatever it might be, to let's go. See who's going to get the last play-in spots. See who's going to win these last awards. But the main thing I'm realizing right now is that so many teams have major injuries right now. Look at Sixers, Joel Embiid. When is he going to come back? It's always, okay, he's going to come back before playoffs. If you ask the Sixers right now, can Joel Embiid play in 10 games? They're definitely saying absolutely not. But that's what it is. Playoffs are in 10 games. A little bit interesting thing about it right there. Rockets creeping up on the Golden State Warriors for that 10th play-in spot. Warriors just put Klay Thompson back in their starting lap. Interesting thing about there for Bran Pozyemski going back to the bench, the rookie. But for the Rockets, playing without Alperen Şengün after the rest of the season, and they're even doing better. Not saying they're a better team without Şengün. That's just not a fact at all. It's just false fiction. But they're climbing up. They have a chance to make the play-in for the Warriors. It's embarrassing. In the championship 2 years ago. Say Dynasty. Got to make the play-in. At least. Made the play-in. But for Rockets, great stuff right there. NBA scoring. And this is something that's been brought up by a bunch of people. And they said, you know, the competition committee, they're going to start looking at this. Is there too much scoring every night? I don't think it's an issue. But I think it's just the normal now. Back in the old day, you would see, okay, games 190. 110 to 90. 110 to 100. Now it's more like 135 to 130, 140 to 130. That's the regular now. A little bit interesting thing about it right there. A lot of scoring now in the NBA. A few things NBA is going to bring up this offseason is that and revamping the All-Star game. Adam Silver said, hey, we've got the idea of making it international versus USA. I don't know the thing about that because does that really warrant the best players in the world to be All-Stars? No, because international team, in my opinion, won't be as stacked as the American team. NBA, some things to think about for this offseason. Victor Wembanyama, though, going off. The San Antonio Spurs might win Defense Player of the Year. He was my preseason pick to win Defense Player of the Year. Really hope he gets it. He's playing great on the defense end of the ball. Victor Wembanyama, one of the best rookie defenders we've ever seen, if not the best rookie defender we've ever seen. Can he be one of the greatest players of all time? I put this out in the Scored Sports Instagram after the ridiculous game he had against the Brooklyn Nets. 7 assists, 7 blocks, 36 points. I think it was 18 rebounds. Can he end up, at the end of his career, being one of the greatest players of all time? I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that. It's powerful news in the NBA. Let's move to the NFL. Great stuff going on there. So we had our bracket episode last week, and we had no episode the week before. So we've got a lot to recap in the NFL. I'm going to do it pretty quick. First thing, J.J. McCarthy had the best pro day ever by any quarterback, any pro day. That's not me as a Michigan fan. That's me as a logical college football and football fan. I just saw that right there. Jim Harbaugh saw it too. Smart minds think alike. Justin Fields is gone. Headed over to Pittsburgh Steelers where he will back up Russell Wilson, no quarterback competition going on there. But great, if you had to think of one player comparison for Justin Fields coming out of college, it was prime Russell Wilson. Seahawks, no better guy to be the mentor, mentee for Russell Wilson. Pittsburgh Steelers, see how that goes for Russell Wilson. What if he's great? Then what do they do with Justin Fields? A little bit interesting to think about right there. I thought Dallas Cowboys might be a good spot for Justin Fields. Didn't happen, though. They've got Trey Lance. Trey Lance. See if he can make some noises here if Dak Prescott goes down with injury or if Dak Prescott starts to play bad. Dak Prescott announced today will not get that extension this offseason, giving the Cowboys a little more lenience to what they want to do next offseason with him. Saquon Barkley does the ultimate cardinal sin, goes from the New York Giants over to their biggest rival, Philadelphia Eagles. Ashamed. I'm ashamed as a Giants fan that Saquon did that, and I will forever hate Saquon Barkley for that. I hate Saquon Barkley in college because he torched Michigan in 2017. Liked him in the NFL because he's a New York Giant. Now he's one of my least favorite players. That's not me as a Bias fan. That's me as an NFL Giants football fan. Derrick Henry heading over to the Baltimore Ravens. That offense is going to be unstoppable, especially with the new ban of the hip drop tackle. That's how you tackle Derrick Henry, the hip drop. He is too big to wrap up and bring down. Derrick Henry, though, with that new rule in effect, is he going to have one of the best running back seasons of all time? I think Derrick Henry is proud might have. I don't know about this Derrick Henry, though. If he can stay healthy, I say yes, but I don't see it happening. Aaron Jones, friend of this show, cut by the Green Bay Packers. Terrible move by them. And they sign Josh Jacobs and they re-sign A.J. Dillon. What I don't get is I think they wanted to keep Aaron Jones, but they were going to ask for a 50% pay cut. Say you're at your job. They ask for you for a 50% pay cut so we can bring on somebody who we think is better than you, even though you don't think they're better than you. Are you going to do it? Everybody in the world would say no. That's exactly what Aaron Jones did. Went over to the Minnesota Vikings, spite whatever you want to call it, over to the Minnesota Vikings. Aaron Jones, friend of the show, love that. Austin Eckler, one time a fantasy football legend, headed over to the Washington Commanders. Let's see what they can do. Maybe they'll draft a quarterback this offseason like J.J. McCarthy, like Caleb Williams, like Drake May. Let's see what they do. One more thing in the NFL, Jarius Sneed, star cornerback, couldn't figure things out the Kansas City Chiefs, even though Chris Jones did. He'll be traded over to the Tennessee Titans, 2-year second-round pick. He gets his big deal with Tennessee. Great stuff right there. Caleb Farley, their first-round pick from a few years ago, not panning out to be great. They get a great cornerback right here, though. Lejarius Sneed headed over to the Tennessee Titans, Super Bowl-winning cornerback. MLB, it's opening day to everybody. We got great stuff going on. MLB season opened up last week in Korea, Dodgers versus Padres, then they went back to spring training. But those two games wasn't necessarily the games that were the headlines. It was more Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter. The headlines. Now, I'm not going to go into the politics of it. This is just Scored Sports, everybody. But what do you think happened with Shohei Ohtani? Is he doing some illegal type of stuff going on over there with his translator, Ippi Mizuhara? I have no idea. Ippi Mizuhara seemed like a great person, seemed like a great translator who Ohtani loved. I remember when the lockout happened, the Angels had to fire Ippi Mizuhara, so Ohtani could still use him and talk to him, and then they rehired him after the season. Ohtani obviously brought him over to the Dodgers. All the players used to love him. It said Angels and Dodgers. A little bit interesting right there, this whole situation. Let's see how it plays out for the game's best and now most polarizing player. It's going to be a great season, MLB, everybody. That's part of the headlines this week. Leave your thoughts in the comments. Now, take of the week. My hot take, this week's episode, the take of episode 162, is that elite coaches in college basketball can't win in March. The coaches you think of that are the best coaches in college basketball, the league guys, top of the top, guys making the best money in the sport, can't win in March. Let's think about it. The guy who just won the national championship, Danny Hurley, I don't think he's yet an elite coach, or at least he is now, but going into the season after the national championship, even before the national championship, nobody thought Danny Hurley was an elite basketball coach. The elite names you thought of, Scott Drew, John Calipari, Matt Painter, Bill Self, Tom Izzo, Bruce Pearl, all these guys, and I'm going to go through it, are on this list. But I want to start with one right here. The greatest coach in basketball history. Maybe John Wooden. Coach K. I like to say Coach K is the greatest coach of college basketball history. His later years didn't do too well in March. Maybe it's just tough to win in March now. Because let's think about it. Coach K, since 2015, when they won that national championship. 2016, loses in the round of 32. 2017, loses in the round of 32. 2018, loses in the Elite Eight. 2019, loses in the Elite Eight. 2020, doesn't have a tournament. 2021, doesn't make the tournament. And 2022, loses in the Final Four. So, can he win championships in 2015? No. But Coach K is the lead of this list. Great time in March, his whole entire career. But another guy on this list, Scott Drew, who everybody likes to call one of the best coaches in college basketball. Oh, he always has great teams, which is true. Scott Drew can produce some great regular season teams. But since they've won the national championship, and I'm going to say this right here, Scott Drew didn't make noise in college basketball until he won the national championship. He had a great year in 2020, but the season got canceled. And before that, no real March success. So he wins the championship in 2021. Great. 2022, one seed again, loses in the round of 32. 2023, three seed, loses in the round of 32. 2024, three seed, loses in the round of 32. Get the pattern right there. John Calipari loses in the round of 64 this year, loses in the round of 32 last year, loses in the round of 64 the year before. Elite coach, we all like to say. Brad Underwood just made his first Sweet 16 in Illinois. People like to call him an elite coach for the teams he's produced there. I wouldn't say making your first Sweet 16, whatever, your 10th year at your school is elite, in my opinion. Bruce Pearl, who I love, is a basketball coach. Bruce Pearl's one of the best coaches in the game. Think about it. Since his Final Four run, really hasn't made any noise in March. And that was 2019, his Final Four run. Tom Izzo, who everybody likes to say the months go January, February, Izzo, April, because they like to call March Izzo's month. Really hasn't been that in years. Tom Izzo isn't producing great teams anymore. Has great hype. Can't do anything in March. And that showed in the round of 32. He said, I'm going to get back to a deep run in March or I'm going to die trying. Well, it looks like he's going to die trying, everybody, after that right there. Matt Painter, lead coach of college basketball, has never made a Final Four at Purdue. Never, ever made a Final Four at Purdue. Yes, he's one shot away in the 2019 Elite Eight from making the Final Four. But still, never made the Final Four. Rick Barnes, over at Tennessee, never made the Elite Eight with Tennessee. So these guys, who we all love to call the elite, the top in college basketball, they can't have success in March. The teams that have success in March, you don't think about it, do they have a real elite coach? Last year's four Final Four teams, Miami, Jay LaRanga, good, long-time, journeyman college basketball head coach, not a legend, not a Hall of Famer. Danny Hurley, nowhere near to be a Hall of Famer yet, but he's a good coach. San Diego State, Brian Dutcher, solid guy, but not elite. So here's my point right here. Can these guys win in March? The best of the best coaches in college basketball. And my answer to you right now is no. That's my take of the week. Leave your thoughts in the comments. So we're into the Sweet 16 now, everybody. Starting tonight, what a great sports day we have today. MLB opening day and the Sweet 16. But I want to talk to you about the top five March Madness moments so far. So many great things. Let's start out with it. Number five, DJ Burns of the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Still dancing and still rolling. When this team had to play five games in 5 days, they didn't have a chance to make March Madness. They could lose any of those games and their season would be over, but they won all five of those games. Then they went to the NCAA tournament and they've won two of their games so far. DJ Burns is America's hero. Number five, DJ Burns, North Carolina State, their amazing run they've had so far. Number four, the Texas A&M versus Houston game. Houston was up 81-69 with that, about a minute left. Okay, Texas A&M, great season they've had, great run they've had, but their season's over at the hand of the Houston Cougars. Nope, Texas A&M storms back, makes a great inbound pass to make overtime buzzer beater, first buzzer beater March Madness we've had so far. That was great right there, great overtime game. Houston wins a NCAA tournament game with four guys fouled out. They had to have a walk-on who's had five career free throws, shoot two clutch free throws for them, break the first, made the second to go up four. That's college basketball for everybody. That's number four on this top five list. Number three, we get the national championship rematch in the Sweet 16. To get a national championship rematch at any point, regular season or postseason, is amazing, but especially in March Madness, UConn, San Diego State squaring off in the Sweet 16. Love to see that. Number two, the Yale Bulldogs and their run to the round of 32 and their upset over Auburn. The Ivy League taking the whole entire nation by storm. Great stuff right there. Yale upsetting Auburn. Hate to see it from my bracket. Love to see it as a college basketball fan. Two, Yale into the round of 32, their run, their win over Auburn. And number one, you knew it was coming. Oakland, Greg Campy, Jack Golke, getting the recognition they deserve. Oakland, their upset over Kentucky, ruining my bracket on night one. But still, Oakland, what an upset that was. Greg Campy's been at Oakland for 40 years, gets his win, gets his great players. I mean, Tree Townsend is a D1 high-level Power 5 college basketball player. Rocket Watts, their point guard, was a five-star recruit coming out of high school and went over to play at Michigan State. Teammates in high school with LaMelo Ball. People don't like to talk about that much. Aspire Academy. But Rocket Watts was great there. They have Trey Townsend and Jack Golke. The hero comes off the bench. I still think they were done wrong. I think at the end of that regulation game against North Carolina State, should have been their ball. They should have been the ones getting the shot up, not North Carolina State. Game goes to overtime. NC State runs away with it. But Oakland, they're on to the round of 32. They're upset over Kentucky. They are this year's Cinderella team. They are the best thing to happen out of March Madness so far. That's Power for Top 5 this week. Now, did you know? This week's Do You Know? It's a great one. Did you know all-time legend Hall of Famer Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's home run record of 714 career home runs on opening day? Today's opening day. Thought to bring that up right there. Didn't know that. Leave it down in the comments. Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's career home run total with 714 on opening day. Didn't know that? Leave it down in the comments. Now, around the bases, everybody, the first preseason MLB hot takes. First MLB hot takes of MLB season. We're going to be doing MLB hot takes maybe throughout the whole entire season, each month. But right now, I'm giving you my preseason MLB hot takes. When we're looking back in November, you're going to say, huh, Lane got all these right. Let's hope so. My preseason MLB hot takes. Let's jump right into it. First one, Houston Astros missed the playoffs and their dynasty explodes. Justin Verlander is not the same Justin Verlander as years before, and he's injured to start the season. Framber Valdez is an overrated pitcher, in my opinion. Christian Javier is a good pitcher, but he's no ace, in my opinion. Playing with a new manager, Jose Altuve, is he there anymore? Alex Bregman's got contract on his mind. They explode, everybody. They missed the playoffs for the first time since 2014. This team's going nowhere, everybody. Astros, first explosion this dynasty. This dynasty explodes after so many years of being great, making the ALCS last year, winning the World Series the year before, winning the World Series in 2017, making the ALCS in 2018, making the World Series in 2019, and the ALCS in 2021, World Series in 2021. Yeah, this team is finally going to explode. The Cheaters, Houston Astros, this dynasty explodes this season, in my opinion. Next one, who's going MVP in our league, MLB? In the AL, I have AL MVP, a little bit shocker right here, drumroll please. Adley Rutschman, catcher for the Baltimore Orioles, wins AL MVP. He's great behind the plate. I think the AL, a little bit weak for hitters right now. Mike Trout, obviously amazing, but it's not a Mike Trout MVP type year. No Shohei Ohtani. I don't think Aaron Judge has an MVP season. I like Adley Rutschman to be great behind the plate, which matters. Defense matters. Have a solid average above 290 and hit about 36 home runs this season, and he'll get that MVP. Give me 100 RBIs. Adley Rutschman's my AL MVP. Now for my NL MVP, it's the man, the myth, the legend. Ronald Acuña Jr. grabs his third career MVP. Might be even up to four now. Ronald Acuña Jr. grabs another MVP. This guy's legendary. This guy's a rookie of the year. He's an MVP. He's an all-star year in, year out. This guy survived a torn ACL, had to watch his team win a World Series the year he tore his ACL, not being able to play, and he still came back better than ever. Time to rake in the postseason, Ronald Acuña, but this guy is on track to be a Hall of Famer. Ronald Acuña Jr. grabs another MVP this season. Now, the Cy Youngs. Let's start out with the NL this time. Who's going to win Cy Young at the NL? I got Tyler Glasnow winning Cy Young at the NL. This is a guy who has some of the nastiest stuff in the MLB. If he can stay healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the game, if not the best pitcher in the game. When you can pitch 100 and you can pitch some nasty stuff with your off speed, you're the best pitcher in the NL this year. That's Tyler Glasnow. And for the AL, I'm going to go with Shane Bieber. Maybe playing for a new contract, maybe going for a new trade. Shane Bieber had a great season in 2020. A little bit of a rough year since then. Shane Bieber gets it back on track, wins AL Cy Young this year, especially no Gerrit Cole. A little bit tough right there. Let's think about putting second-year player Grayson Rodriguez up here, but I think Shane Bieber edges him out by a little bit right there. Now, who's going to win Rookie of the Year? This one might be a little bit controversial, but for the AL, I think Rookie of the Year is Jason Dominguez. I know, before whoever comments, Jason Dominguez had UCL surgery last year, he's going to be out most of the season. Not most of the season. I think he'll be out until about June. Have we never seen a rookie get called up in June and not win Rookie of the Year? We've seen it with Jordan Alvarez. Jordan Alvarez got called up in June his rookie season, and he won Rookie of the Year. Same thing with Corey Seager. I can see the same right here going on with Jason Dominguez. Had a great start to his campaign last year, and he still counts as a rookie on service time. Jason Dominguez of the Yankees wins Rookie of the Year. And for the NL, I think Rookie of the Year, not Yoshinobu Yamamoto, it will be Shota Imanga, another Japanese pitcher, 30 years old, some nasty stuff in spring training, love it, over with the Cubs, lefty, Shota Imanga, a little bit more MLB ready right now than Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's only 24 years old, compared to the Shota Imanga, who's 30 years old. Now, here's some more hot takes. Before we go into the World Series and pennant predictions, I got one for you right here. The Cubs rule the National League this year, and they get at least 90 wins. I think this team's great. Cody Bellinger, Dansby Swanson. Look for Bellinger to be a real player in MVP. I think he's an MVP finalist, has a great year. Like I said, Imanga's a great pitcher. This is a great pitching staff. They went big. They got Craig Council at manager. There might be some fights between the Brewers and the Cubs this year, and I live for that. But Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner, Cody Bellinger finally got rid of the toxicness a few years ago from that World Series run. Javier Baez is no longer there. They obviously had to split up Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, which is tough. But I like the new wave, the new trend of the Chicago Cubs. I think they have a great year ruling over the National League. Pittsburgh Pirates, divisional rival, the Chicago Cubs, they make a run back to the playoffs, everybody. This team finally pieces it together, got some great prospects. Paul Skenes hopefully can make it up to the bigs this year, which I think he does. Number one pick. Henry Davis, also the number one pick. So if you're going to have Skenes, Henry Davis, have Nell Cruz at shortstop, keep Ryan Hayes at the hot plate at third base. This is going to be an amazing team. Dave Bednar at closer, one of the best closers in the game. Just thinking about this, even Brian Reynolds in outfield, this is a premier team, National League, and the whole entire league. Put them on notice. They make it back to the playoffs this year. The Orioles win the American League, everybody. Yep, Baltimore Orioles win the American League. They had the best regular season of any team last year, and this year, they finally do some damage in the playoffs. Grayson Rodriguez, the ace of this team. Kyle Bradish is going to be out for a while, and so is Felix Bautista. But by playoff time, trust me, this team is going to win the AL pennant. This is a great team. I love it. Orioles into my World Series. For the NL, this is even a question. Los Angeles Dodgers into the World Series. I think Yoshinobu Yamamoto gets off to a rough start to his career, like we've seen with that first game against the Padres, but eventually gets the wheels back on the bus. Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, too many good hitters, too many good pitchers on this team. Yamamoto isn't necessarily locked to start the whole entire season. They've got pitchers on this team. They still got Tony Gonsolin. They still got Dusty May. They still got a lot of great guys on this team, pitchers and hitters. Don't forget about them. And some good prospects. So the Dodgers make it over to the World Series. They'll face off against the Baltimore Orioles. And my 2024 MLB World Series winner is, drumroll please, the Los Angeles Dodgers win their first championship since the 2020 season. Let's go. It's a great team. Just broke them down why they're going to win the National League. Let's break it down for why they're going to win the whole entire thing. When you have to be a pitcher and you have to face Mookie Betts, then you have to go up and face Freddie Freeman, go up to face Shohei Ohtani, and any other hitter in that lineup, Will Smith, they have no bad spots. Maybe they have some mid players in there, Jason Hayward, but you need a solid guy like that in there sometimes. You don't need the superstar at every position. Even Teoscar Hernandez, just a solid guy. Prospects they've got coming up. Amazing team, Los Angeles Dodgers. The best team in the MLB. Los Angeles Dodgers win the World Series. Usually on Dodgers hater. Not this year. They win the World Series. They take it all. That's about for around the bases. Let's look back in November when I'm right on all these. Now, you guys know me. I'm the biggest Michigan sports fan in the world. Michigan football, Michigan basketball, Michigan anything. So Michigan basketball had to hire a new coach. I thought of some names. John Calipari. Maybe he would go over and fire back John Beilein. But the name they landed on was the FAU head coach, Dusty May. And at first, I'm going to say that first, I was like, oh, Dusty May. Okay, this is a bit of a dilemma for me because I loved FAU preseason. I loved them midseason. And then they flatlined at the end of the year. Is that what Michigan basketball needs right now? But from what I've seen from Dusty May in the past 3 days is that he's the perfect Michigan man. Michigan, Rahm Emanuel, who gets a lot of hate always. Even from me, maybe sometimes rightfully so, knows how to make a damn good hire. Look at Sherrill Moore, made the right hire. Look at Dusty May, just made the right hire. Dusty May had a great team at FAU. John L. Davis, Nick Boyd, Elijah Martin, Vladislav Golden. All those guys I expect to follow him to Michigan. And this is a team that was top five preseason, made the Final Four last year. Rough year in the American Conference. But at Michigan, I think things can change, especially for Dusty May. With new age of the transfer portal, new ways going on. I think Dusty May is the perfect head coach for Michigan, especially the ways he wants to bring back John Beilein back into the program. I love it. So here's my top analysis right here for Juwan Howard and Dusty May. When Juwan Howard got hired at Michigan, it was great stuff. Things are going great. Everyone in the country wanted to play for Juwan Howard, rightfully so. Former NBA player. He's great. Parents love him. Families love him. Great guy. Juwan Howard recruited the players that he wanted to play for him. He would recruit any five-star out there. He recruited the guys that he thinks could be the best in the NBA, or just the best basketball players on the planet. Michigan's one of the top universities in the world. So when John Beilein was at Michigan, he recruited the guys that wanted to go to Michigan. Look at Mo Wagner. You look at Franz Wagner. You look at Isaiah Livers. You look at Caris LeVert, Trey Burke, Jordan Poole. When you see those guys, compared to the guys Juwan Howard got, Hunter Dickinson, good player for a few years, had Franz Wagner for about a year. I consider Franz Wagner a John Beilein recruit, not a Juwan Howard recruit. But when you look at the talent that John Beilein produced in the NBA, even though they weren't five stars, it's the talent Juwan Howard produced into the NBA. They were five stars. Yet, Caleb Houston, Usidi Abate, even Jet Howard, his own son, and Kobe Buffkin have yet to do a single thing in the NBA, all four of those guys. But for Beilein, those little guys he developed were great. So I think Dusty May is going to bring back that tradition of bringing back the guys that want to go to Michigan, that are Michigan men. And I love that right there. So this Michigan team, if they can get those FAU guys, they can go from 8 wins this year to at least 20 wins next year. Santa Ono, Rahm Emanuel, great hire for this program. Dusty May, going to be a great head coach. I love the future of this Michigan basketball program. They need a splash. They got a splash. Go Blue, everybody. As you can see, I have another bracket out right now, everybody. It's the same bracket that we have going on right now, where we're into the Sweet 16. It's the same Squared Sports bracket. Let's just say the original from scratch Squared Sports bracket, where we picked all rounds, didn't go so great. We had Kentucky wing it all, didn't go so great right there, but it's time for the Sweet 16. Sweet 16, the S in that stands for second chance at winning it all. So we're going to pick all of these matchups right here. We've got some great matchups. UConn, San Diego State, Houston, Duke, and we're eventually going to get a new Schoolyard Sports champion, everybody. So let's hop into it. UConn, San Diego State, national championship rematch. Let's do this quick. UConn gets that win there into my Elite Eight. Illinois, Iowa State. I like Illinois in this matchup. TJ Ulterberger is a great coach, but Illinois, Brad Underwood, Terrence Shannon, great player. They get into the Elite Eight right here. They'll face off against UConn. And I've got UConn winning that game, getting into my Final Four. Said that on the ESPN 600 radio show today. Go tune in there. Download the app, 600 ESPN El Paso. North Carolina versus Alabama. Two really high-powered offenses. I think North Carolina gets this job done, though. UNC into my Elite Eight. Clemson, Arizona. I love to see a Caleb Love North Carolina rematch. Actually had that in my original bracket. Really the only thing right on that bracket. Let's just not bring up who my champion was. Arizona, North Carolina. It's my Elite Eight. Houston versus Duke. I will be going to this game. It's going to be a great game. You know me, massive Duke fan. I'm also a little bit unbiased. But from what I've seen from this Houston team is they've got great defense. Amazing defense, and they always do. Kelvin Sampson's a great coach. But can he finally make that next step? He's made the Final Four, and he's made the Elite Eight before, but can he make that step to win the national championship? Is this that year? Great defense. Can Duke be physical enough to stop them? Can Kyle Filipowski be physical enough? Can they make their shots? I say yes. The way I saw Duke play against James Madison in Vermont, yes, it looked like a completely different Duke team than we've seen before. All credit to the players, only meeting Jamie Rochelle after that loss to North Carolina State, after that rough patch they've had. Their first win in March since that North Carolina State win they had in the regular season was the game against Vermont. They were on a two-week drought of winning games. Obviously, they're not playing many games, but still, you don't win a game in 2 weeks. A little bit tough to you think about right there. Duke rebounded really well in tournament. I think they win this game right here against Houston to get into that Elite Eight. North Carolina State, Marquette. Let's do it, everybody. North Carolina State sets up that rematch with Duke in that Elite Eight. That's going to be awesome to see right there. North Carolina State versus Duke in that Elite Eight. And in that matchup, in that Elite Eight, I got Duke taking down North Carolina State and DJ Burns. Now, just realized there, buddy, I skipped over the Elite Eight matchup of North Carolina, Arizona. My original bracket at Arizona, we're going to take Arizona right here into my Final Four. So we're going to have UConn, Arizona, and Duke versus to be determined. Let's fill it out. Purdue, Gonzaga, in my original bracket, I Purdue into my Elite Eight. Mark Few, great coach, not your year to make the Elite Eight. Purdue, it's my Elite Eight. Creighton versus Tennessee. Creighton in my original Final Four. Will we see that again? I don't know. But then Creighton gets into the Elite Eight right here. Now, Creighton, Purdue, Elite Eight matchup. Who makes the Final Four? My original analysis for it was that Ryan Kalkbrenner was going to be so dominant and be the only guy in March who could stop Zach Edey. From what I've seen from Ryan Kalkbrenner in this tournament so far, is there's nothing changed my opinion. I got Creighton. It's my Final Four. Well, they'll play Duke. I had Creighton and Duke in my preseason Final Four. It's going to be a great matchup. But let's head over to UConn, Arizona. Great matchup right here. Danny Hurley versus Tommy Lloyd. Who makes it to the national championship? Wildcats versus Huskies. I got Arizona, my original national championship runner-up, into my national championship. Now, are they going to win this time in my second chance bracket, or are they going to stay where they are? But I think Arizona, at the end of the day, Caleb Love takes down Tristan Newton. Donovan Clinton, again, the best player in UConn's team, in my opinion, doesn't get the job done versus Arizona, and that's how his college career ends before he goes off to the NBA. Duke versus Creighton. I'm penciling in for Duke right here. Duke, too much for the Creighton Blue Jays. Now we've got Arizona versus Duke, a matchup we saw at Cameron Indoor earlier this season. I was there for that game. Umar Balo was amazing. We're going to get Umar Balo versus Kyle Filipowski, part two. Caleb Love versus Duke, part 15, whatever it might be, because he's played Duke so many times in his career. He's the Duke villain, and Duke hates Caleb Love. Caleb Love hates Duke. Arizona hates Duke. Duke hates Arizona. Who wins this game? Who wins the national championship? I'm going to go with the Arizona Wildcats to end Duke's season in the national championship. John Shire does not get a championship in year two. Caleb Love wins against Duke in his final game of his career, confirming that he owns Duke. Arizona wins the national championship in my second chance bracket. Leave your picks and thoughts in the comments. That's my second chance college basketball madness bracket, everybody. Now, at the buzzer, before we close out this great episode 162, I want to talk about something right here that I didn't get to talk about in last week's episode or the week before. The Bears have owned this offseason. Ryan Poles. Let's give a clap for Ryan Poles, their GM. He has owned this offseason from the way he got DeAndre Swift on day one, great running back, to pair with their new quarterback, Caleb Williams, and yes, Caleb Williams will be their new quarterback, no doubt about it. The way he got rid of Justin Fields, ending that drama, the way he got Keenan Allen for basically legal robbery, fourth round pick, which is nothing in today's NFL. So potentially the Bears next season are going to have Caleb Williams at quarterback, DeAndre Swift at running back, Keenan Allen at receiver, DJ Moore at receiver, and fingers crossed, Marvin Harrison Jr. drops to number 9, which is very possible now. Or, worst case scenario, you get a guy like Romo Dunes, which is no bad scenario at all. With the defense they have, that team's making the playoffs, no matter how bad or how good Caleb Williams is next season. Ryan Poles, great job he's done this offseason, the way he improvised, handling the Justin Fields situation, getting free agents, getting Keenan Allen, jumping on that opportunity. Let's go. Ryan Poles, Bears, great job. Great offseason so far. They've owned it. That's about for At The Buzz this week. Now, best to last, question day. This week's question is, which one seed will lose first in March Madness? I think it's Houston. Who do you think loses first of the one seeds? Leave your pick on that in the comments. It's about for question day this week. That's about for Squared Sports and Lane Frick, episode 162. Thank you for tuning in. Follow Squared Sports on Instagram, at Squared Sports. Follow Squared Sports on X, at Squared Sport. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review for the best sports content in the world. Be back here next week, episode 163. Stay tuned.